Good morning, you're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin, Wendy Lou Gillespie, and Justin Farrar. Today, we're talking about opening acts and the hard act to follow, the times when an opening act has broken the rules of upstaging the headliner, and also a tangent on that for bands that have fallen apart following a bigger name. Recently, one of the buzz bands from California called Waves, it's just a two-piece band, was playing at Barcelona's Primavera Sound Festival, and they were playing very late and unfortunately followed up heavyweights like My Bloody Valentine, and it's all over the internet now about the Waves meltdown, which basically ended with the drummer getting so disgusted that he came out and dumped a cup of beer on the guitarist's head and walked off stage amidst many boos. That's what we're talking about today on What It Is.
The guitarist issued an interesting statement maybe that day. It was kind of apologetic, and he said something about maybe it wasn't such a good idea to mix Xanax and ecstasy. And I think he might have added a couple other prescription meds in there as well. As for opening bands blowing off the headliners off the stage, I would have to go with one from my youth and another hair metal reference, and that'd have to be Guns N' Roses when they were opening up for Aerosmith. Aerosmith was on their big comeback tour for Permanent Vacation, and Guns N' Roses were like the young guns, I guess. They were up and coming, and they totally demolished Aerosmith that night. Even with the guy from Aerosmith doing that fake drum solo all over the risers for about 25 minutes. They just didn't hold a candle. And everyone kind of knew it, too. It was pretty obvious throughout the crowd.
It's hard to be a musician sometimes. You know, you don't. Sometimes when you're at a festival, you know who's going to be before you and what's going to go on. And other times you don't. I remember being young and playing in a band with Dick Terry, and we got hired at the Wheatland Folk Festival in Michigan, which is a really big deal. It was on the main stage. You know, you're young and you get a main stage act, and it's so cool. And so we get up there, and the band before us was a band from Ireland, and they had brought a new singer with them for the first time. She was so good. It turned out to be Maura O'Connell that was on stage for her first appearance right before us. I mean, and there we were standing backstage waiting for our turn to go out and play. I remember one of the other bluegrass bands going, damn, lambs to the slaughter as they let out. So we went out on stage, and as they were setting our equipment up, I mean, the whole place got up and left. The whole festival got up and went to the bathroom. So I guess it's kind of, you know, there's the
big
WC
bathroom.
Field. Yeah, there's the WC Fields thing, you know, don't ever go after kids and dogs and unknown, beautiful, young, soon-to-be-famous, talented Irish females.
Yeah, I think that probably the one I can recollect, we were at Smile Fest at Van Hoy Campground, and Bela Fleck had just left the stage with an amazing performance. And this other band from Charlotte actually had to take the stage with them. And they were going great. And they had Tom Constanton with them. Don't get me wrong. I love the Grateful Dead. I do. But Tom broke out in the middle of their first song with an organ solo of Eye of the Tiger. And I have never seen a music audience leave so quickly. And I felt so bad for the other guys, because you're like, it's Tom Constanton. He's offered to play with you. You're, you know, little band in Charlotte, you know, what do you do? But they're all just sitting there like so uncomfortable, like knowing that, you know, Eye of the Tiger is not really the best thing to go on with right now, you know. And that was the most painful, like as far as like, you know, having to follow, you know, Bela Fleck. It was a different kind of music too, and I think it was really,
somebody's got to do it. It's like the dues you have to pay.
Yeah.
It's the downside of music sometimes, but
sometimes, you know, the people who follow the big acts, like after festivals, that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to move somebody right on the stage. You know, sometimes that's when I find the, like, maybe because they are so, we really have to put it out there.
Uh-huh,
you know,
yeah.
And then these bands that are so small, and they come and they're like, wow, I want to go buy your CD right now. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So I don't know what it is, but sometimes
I know I played a good set.
You know, I mean,
right.
I think maybe that's it. Maybe because sometimes they really do like bring it out, you know. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where I read this, but it might have been in Nick Tosches's bio on Jerry Lee. But there were a few early tours where, you know, those big old package tours that rock and roll used to do. They'd have like eight and they'd play 20 minutes each, and it would be Jerry Lee and Chuck Berry, and they would switch on and off each night. And one of them, they would try to outdo each other, and when they would get off the stage, another one would yell a racial epithet at the other, you know, like, try, you know, see if you can top this blank, you know. And they would go back and forth on the whole tour trying to top each other. And it probably ended with Jerry Lee setting the piano on fire or something. But it was, that would have been a great show to see.
Really? I want to see that. Oh, there's a little bit of that in Walk the Line. Isn't there one of those shows, touring shows with Jerry Lee?
It's All the Sun. Like a Sun package tour.
And there's also the phenomenon of people coming out only to see their favorite local act in front of a completely unrelated bigger name from out of town. And I've been to a lot of clubs where that has happened, where you come and instead of the other way around, which is more normal, and nobody shows up except for the headliner or the very tail end of the opening act, then everybody winds up leaving. You've got a handful of people for the main draw.
I don't think I've ever, I don't know, I guess like Acoustic Syndicate open up for some people would be one of those shows for me. Yeah, you get tired, getting older, you know, and got to drink a couple more Red Bulls to stay awake.
I think that happens in indie rock on a regular basis, it seems to me. I remember experiencing that quite a lot. Some local band draws big. I wish I could recall something right now. Cut that out.
What do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org. The hard act to follow. Have you ever been to a show when the opening act broke any of the cardinal rules, where you can't play louder than the headliner, you can't play more than 45 minutes, you definitely can't play any material that the headliner has written, or has simply just been far better than the main draw? For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Wendy Lou Gillespie, Carol Rifkin, Justin Farrar. Until next time.